Good morning. I just want to share with you what we're about to embark on for 21 days as a church. In about 12 hours, just a little over 12 hours, we're going to welcome in 2018. And Happy New Year, by the way. Hope everyone has a highly blessed and favored new year. And today will be even special in worship before we're finished with worship for this year. But I wanted to invite you, if you have not yet, to take one of these books. They're available as you leave today. Awakening by Stovall Weems. This is going to be our guide for the 21 days. There's 21 days of devotionals that will keep everybody on the same page, so to speak, as we go through this journey together. But worship every day for the 21 days. Tomorrow morning is at 9 a.m. Tuesday morning will be at 6 a.m. We have to set early times to catch people before they go to work. But I would just ask our congregation, if there is something we can change or something that we can do differently to walk closer with Jesus, will we do it? And so I'm inviting us to do something different so that we can walk closer to Jesus as we begin 2018. You'll find in this book also some teaching about fasting. It may not be what we think it is. It's eating differently. It's making better choices. It's making room for God. That's the whole purpose. And you'll be hearing Hunter in just a moment share more on this. But I'd invite you to this journey. At this time, it is my privilege to introduce to you, for those of you that do not know, Hunter Bethay. Many of you know Hunter. He grew up in this congregation, and this is his home church. And Hunter has had some great things going on in being called into the ministry. This past year, in the spring, he graduated the University of Alabama. In the fall of this year, 2017, he began Asbury Theological Seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky. I'm enjoying reading Hunter's Facebook post. He reflects on what he's learning. I feel like I'm back in seminary. But it's great. Hunter, we welcome you back to your church family. Come and share the word that God has put on your heart today.
Thank you. Well, good morning. Before I even get into the sermon, I just want to take a moment of personal privilege to just thank this church. As Pastor Phillip said, this has always been my home church. In Tuscaloosa, I had a church. Now up in Wilmore, I have a church. But this has always been and will always be my home church. And so because of that, I am so blessed. I'm blessed that I got to be raised by the two most incredible people that I know, but I'm also a firm believer that it takes a village to raise a kid, and Chalmers United Methodist Church has been my village. From my youth workers to youth pastors to Sunday school teachers, I have had so many different mentors at this church, and that has blessed me tremendously. I was baptized here, confirmed here. I was part of the children's ministry, youth ministry. And it was even on a youth leadership team retreat with this church that I got my call to ministry. So I am the person I am today because of Chalmers. And so I just want to take this time to thank y'all because of your support, not only for me, but for young people in general. It is rare to see a church that supports young people as well as this church does. And so from the bottom of my heart, thank you. I could spend the rest of my time during the sermon thanking you, and it would still fall woefully short to how grateful I am for this church. But I was asked to come preach and not thank you for 20 minutes, so we're going to do that. I'm going to be in Matthew chapter 6. The words will be on the screen, but you can follow along in your Bible. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, but any version will do. I'll start in verse 25, but to give you a little bit of background to this passage that we're going to read, it's a part of this thing called the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gives. It's called the Sermon on the Mount because Jesus gave a sermon on a mount. It's a very confusing thing, much more confusing than Leviticus, as Jonathan pointed out. So Jesus has been preaching about a lot of different things. He starts off by preaching about the giving of alms, which is just giving to those in need. He talks about praying. He does this prayer that we say even today. The Lord gave a prayer. It's called the Lord's Prayer. Once again, really confusing topic. This is why we go to seminary. But then he starts talking about fasting, and then he talks about wealth, and then he gets to this passage. It's starting in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." I love these next two verses. I think they're key. "But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." Will you pray with me? Father God, you are glorious. And so in this moment, let my words just glorify you. God, if they're my words and you're not here, then we are wasting our time. So Holy Spirit, come. Fill this room, fill our hearts, and lead us to the knowledge, the wisdom, and the truth that you want us to hear. God, what we're doing is nothing if you're not here. We need you. So come. In your name we pray. Amen. As Pastor Philip talked about, we're starting these 21 days of fasting and prayer. And so I'm just going to lay out my cards to show you. Here's what I'm going to do in the next 20-ish minutes for this sermon. I am going to try to just cover a little bit about fasting. That book by Stovall Wings, The Awakening Book, I had the privilege of reading it. It's incredible. I mean, it really is. It takes some things that are really confusing topics, but he makes them so simple and easy to understand. I would highly encourage anybody and everybody to read this book. It talks a lot about a lot of different things, prayer, fasting, grace. And I think that it gives a lot of insight into some of these things that we really don't talk about or know much about in churches. And so I would highly encourage you to pick up a copy of that book. But you may be asking me, you know, you picked this passage and it has nothing to do with fasting. But then you told us that you're going to talk about fasting, and I am. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a little bit of insight into why we fast, into what fasting is, and then how to fast. But that passage seems to have nothing to do with it. It's a good point, but first I want to tell you a little bit about a movie that I watched. Has anybody seen the movie The Greatest Showman yet? Okay, cool. We've got a few people. I think it's incredible. I'm a sucker for musicals. It's a fantastic musical. Stars Hugh Jackman, who plays P.T. Barnum. Zac Efron is in it. He plays a character named Philip Carlyle. But this movie is about P.T. Barnum, who is now famous for the Barnum and Bailey Circus. And it talks about how he kind of created the circus. Now, it's your typical rags-to-riches type story. Barnum, what he does is he takes these people that are really unique, as they call them in the movie. They have oddities. Now for example, he's got a bearded lady and an 8-foot-tall man, and he brings them together in a circus. And what he tries to do is he tries to celebrate who they are and create an environment where they can really flourish. Now, the people in the city feel like what he is doing is creating a freak show. And so they cast him out of society, essentially. And so he becomes an outcast, looked down upon, and really is no longer in good favor with society. Well, so I'm not going to give away any spoilers, but we are going to talk a little bit about this movie as we talk about fasting. Granted, I don't think the directors and the producers tried to create a movie to talk about fasting, but we're going to see what we can get from it. Now, we're going to start off by talking about the why. Why do we fast? And I think it's pretty simple. We need to align ourselves with God. Now, in the movie, P.T. Barnum tries to convince Zac Efron's character, Philip Carlyle, to join the circus. Now, Philip Carlyle is a very prominent, well-known playwright in the city. He's in the upper of the upper class, and as he says, he's invited to every party. Now, the problem, if Philip Carlyle joins the circus, is that he, too, like P.T. Barnum, will become an outcast. So Barnum has a really difficult task to try to convince him to join the circus. And I've got some lyrics up on the screen from their song, The Other Side, that they sing. Barnum says to Carlyle, "You would live a little, finally laugh a little. Just let me give you the freedom to dream, and it'll wake you up and cure your aching. Take your walls and start them breaking." So why should we fast? I think this is kind of what God says to us about fasting. See, what he says is that if you fast, you'll align yourselves with me. And if you align yourself with me, you'll start to live a little, find more joy in your life. You'll laugh a little. I'll give you the freedom to dream. I'll wake you up. I'll cure that aching deep within your soul that says that you want a relationship with your Father in heaven. And those walls between us, I'll start them breaking. You know, Stovall Weems talks about three things that prayer and fasting, when they're combined, what it does in our lives. The first thing is agreement. You see, when we start to pray and fast, our desires start to become God's desires. And so we start agreeing with God about the things that he wants to happen in this world. That leads us to the second thing that happens when we pray and fast. It's alignment. Not only do our desires start to become like God's, our thoughts start to become like his. And so we start aligning ourselves with his purposes and his plans. And then the third thing that happens is assignment. We start to actually do the things that God wants us to do because he starts working through us. And as I prepped this sermon, I really felt like this might be a point that I need to hit pretty hard. I felt like God was saying, you know, there may be some people that hear your sermon that don't truly believe that God has a purpose and a plan for their lives. But every single person on this planet, every single person that has ever existed, God has a very specific purpose and a plan for their life, and you are uniquely designed. You are uniquely gifted to fulfill that purpose. So to God, you have infinite worth because of that purpose that he has placed on your life. I hope you understand that, because when you do, that will change your life, and it will change the way you view the things that you do. So what happens when we pray and we fast is we agree with God, we align with God, and then God starts working through us as we fulfill his assignments for our life. Fasting and prayer starts this process, though, and we'll talk about why in just a little bit. But another reason I think we should fast is because this world and our own lives are full of problems. I don't need to spend any time telling you this. But I like what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, the passage we read earlier. He says, "So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own," which from Jesus sounds a little bit disheartening. Then he goes on to say, "Today's troubles are enough for today." But I like it because Jesus admits, listen, we've all got problems, whether it's health problems, marital problems, financial problems. Jesus says, you're going to have problems. But right before he tells us that, he tells us how to deal with those problems. Strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In all these things, and what he means by all these things, it's all the things that your Father knows you need. Finances, a feeling of love and support, good health. All these things will be given to you. So fasting allows us to focus on God and strive for the kingdom of God. So that's the why. Why should we fast? So we can align ourselves with God. But what is fasting? What is it at its very core? And I think it's pretty simple. It's cutting out distractions from our life. You see, in the movie P.T. Barnum, he starts chasing after things that he later realizes he never wanted to chase after. And so after some of those things start to fall apart, it not only affects him, but it affects the people in the circus. And so there's a scene where he and the people that are a part of the circus are at a bar, and P.T. Barnum is very downcast. And then he sings this song called From Now On, and I've got some of the lyrics that stood out the most to me. And he goes, "From now on, these eyes will not be blinded by the lights. From now on, what's waited till tomorrow starts tonight." Do you remember whenever I talked a little bit about the context of that Matthew chapter 6 passage, what Jesus had talked about right before that passage that we read? The thing that he talked about right before that passage, what he started talking about wealth. And there's a famous verse that he says, it's, "No man can serve two masters. Either he will love one and hate the other, or despise one and love the other." And so what Jesus is talking about is distractions, whether it's the distractions of wealth or even things that are important to our lives, the distractions of clothing, of food, of the drinks that we consume, like we talked about in our passage. But these things can distract us from God. And so when we fast, we start to cut these things out of our lives and are solely focused on God. And so when we do that, we can begin to experience Him in a greater way. But how does this happen? Let's talk about the how. How fasting works is because God, when you allow God to play a part in your life when you fast, it creates space for God to move. You see, in the movie, P.T. Barnum, like I said, he takes outcasts from society, and he gives them a space to where they can be who they are and be celebrated for who they are. Now, they're all very hesitant at first because they think that it's going to be just an opportunity for society to laugh at them. And in a way, they're right. But what they don't realize until towards the end of the movie is that this circus has created a family for them, that they're finally loved for who they are, that they have people that are just like them, have things that are unique about them, and that they're loved for who they are. But it all started because P.T. Barnum created a space for them to be celebrated for who they are. And I think that's what fasting is that when we fast, and let me go back to some of the lyrics from The Bearded Lady. She sings a song, "This Is Me," and the lyrics say, "I am not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, they say, because we don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say. No one will love you as you are, but I won't let them break me down to dust. I know that there's a place for us, for we are glorious." I think that shows how they understand that because P.T. Barnum created a space for them, and they really felt loved. And so to experience an awakening with God, we fast. And the reason we do that is because we create a space for God to move. I think that's what's so important about these morning worship services, is that at 6 o'clock or at 9 o'clock in the morning, we set aside a time and we say, "Okay, God, we're going to cut out the distractions and we're going to give you this space. We're going to give you this time to move." And let me tell you, God wants nothing more than to move in your life, because God wants nothing more than to have a relationship or a deeper relationship with each and every one of His children. And so when we fast and when we create a space and say, "Okay, God, I'm ready to be in a deeper relationship with You," He is going to bless that time and He's going to bless that space, because there is nothing He wants more than to be closer to You. And so I think that's why fasting with the church is so important. As P.T. Barnum said earlier on, that what's waited till tomorrow starts tonight. If you're like me, whenever you heard about fasting, you were like, "You know, I can do that anytime. It's not a very convenient time for me." But when we do it as a church, we have people around us that can encourage us. We have people around us that are kind of going through the same things as us. And this church has already created space for you for 21 days to experience God deeper. You know, I don't think you have to start with a super dramatic fast. Stovall Weems, right before those 21-day devotionals, he talks a little bit about different kinds of fasts, gives really great examples, gives a schedule, and so check that out. But he talks about some really extreme fasts. And if you read those, you might be kind of scared off. But I don't think God is telling you to do some extreme fasts. You see, one of the best pieces of advice I received, I actually received this semester. One of the professors at Asbury came and he talked to one of my classes, and he talked about this specific type of prayer. And many people do this prayer for up to 40 minutes straight. And when he said 40 minutes straight of complete silence, I was out. I was like, that is not for me, God, because I like to talk and I get very distracted when I'm in silence by myself. But he said something that caught my attention. He said, I don't think God's telling you to do 40 minutes straight. I think God says to you, give me what you can. See if you like what I do with it. And if you do, you'll want more. I think that's what God might be saying to us about this fast, especially those of us that are on the fence about it. I think God might be saying, give me what you can. If that means that you just start off by coming to a couple of the morning worship services, or if that means that you only fast for a couple days, see what I do with it. And if you like it, I think you'll want more. So if you're on the fence, I highly encourage you, just try it. Just try something. You don't have to go all in right at the beginning. But I think when you see God do more real things in your life, I think you're going to want to be able to go more all in. You know, one of my favorite stories comes from the movie Facing the Giants, and they talk about these two farmers. And each of them desperately needed rain, but only, and so they both prayed for rain, but only one went out and prepared his fields for the rain. Now that farmer trusted God, and what he did was he created a space so that when God moved, he was ready for it. And that's what fasting is that we create a space so that when God moves, we're ready for it. You know, in case you haven't figured out, I did a lot of research into The Greatest Showman before giving this sermon. My parents and my sister are sick and tired of hearing the soundtrack and hearing me sing the songs especially. And as my sister says, choreograph some dances, which you're not going to have to experience today to the songs. But I came across this little clip. And the director and Hugh Jackman, who plays P.T. Barnum, the lead role, they talk about it. Now, what they had to do is that they had to get everybody together, Fox executives, the producers, the cast, the backup choir. They had to get everybody together in a room to do a read-through of the whole script. And what this process is called is it's called green lighting. If it goes well and if the executives like it and they think they can make money off of it, then they tell the producers and the director, go ahead and make the film. So this is a really important read-through. And so to get everybody together, it took them 8 months before they found a day that everybody had free. And so they were looking forward to this day for 8 months. And the day before, Hugh Jackman calls up the director and says, hey, listen, got a little bit of a problem. I have a skin cancer on my nose, and my doctor went ahead and had it removed, and I've got 80 stitches in my nose. Everything's fine, except for the fact that I can't sing. And so for a lead role in a musical to not be able to sing, a little bit of a problem. And so what they did is they hatched this plan. And the director said, okay, you'll stand up there and you'll mouth the words and you'll, you know, act the part, but we'll have somebody else singing for you. So this plan started off well. They went through most of the musical, but then towards the end, they got to this one number. It's one of the ones we actually talked about a little bit earlier, From Now On. And they have, they recorded all this, and so they have a recording, a video recording of Hugh Jackman. And he's sitting there, you know, acting the part a little bit. And then they get to these lines, and he starts to mouth the words, From Now On. These eyes will not be blinded by the light. And pretty soon he starts to sing along. And as he sings along, the people around that room start to get a little bit more energized. And he sings, from now on, what's waited till tomorrow starts tonight. Let this promise in me start like an anthem in my heart. From now on. And the camera pans around the room. And you start to see people's faces get a little bit brighter and their smiles get a little bit bigger. Pretty soon people are clapping, they're cheering. There's people standing on chairs singing and people dancing on tables. I mean, the room goes wild. And by the end, you know that something has changed in that room. And as I watch this video on YouTube, I mean, I'm covered with goosebumps because of the energy that was in that room. And I couldn't help but think to myself, what does it look like when I fast? And what does it look like when you fast? What does it look like when Shalimar United Methodist Church fasts? And what does it look like if everybody at this church fasts? I couldn't help but think, maybe it's kind of like that green lighting session. Because when something happens within us that changes, then people around us notice. Their energy starts to get a little bit higher. And when a change happens within us, whenever we align ourselves with God and have an awakening and are closer and experiencing God more deeply, then we can't help but change, and the people around us can't help but notice. So the Christians around us are going to get more passionate about God, and they're going to want an awakening. And the non-Christians around us are going to see that something's different about us. Something is more real in our lives, and they want to experience that. And in our church, if everybody starts fasting, then we're going to have an awakening, and this town's going to have an awakening, and this county's going to have an awakening, and pretty soon the churches in this town are going to wonder what happened to Shalimar, and they're going to start having awakenings. And whenever I had this thought that such a chain of reactions could happen, I said to myself, I think you might be exaggerating, and you might be saying the same thing to me too. But when we fast, we align ourselves with God, and God starts to work through us. And if you don't think that God can change yourself, and that he can't change this church, and he can't change this area, then I think you probably don't know the God that we're serving. Amen. He's going to want to work through you. And when you fast, you give him that space to work through you. And I think I may be underestimating the power that can happen when this church starts to fast. I'll close with this, and the band can go ahead and start coming forward. But I've got a confession to make. When I told Pastor Philip that I would preach this sermon, I was super excited about it, but I really didn't know if I was actually going to do the fast. You see, 6 a.m. for a seminary student on break is very early, and I was, you know, coming up with a bunch of different excuses. The last 7 days of this fast, I'm going to be up in Wilmore doing an intensive class where I'm in class for 9 straight hours, and it's probably bad for my health if I, you know, fast or something. I mean, I came up with every excuse. But after reading Awakening by Stovall Weems, and after I allowed God to kind of speak to me through that, I realized I can't not fast. Because I always need an awakening. I always need to experience God more in my life. And if you have that same desire, I think you've got to fast too. So every time I can, I hope to see you at these morning services. But I also know that God hopes to see you there, because he wants nothing more than to be in a deeper relationship with you. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for giving us things like fasting to where we can grow closer to you. Thank you that you want a relationship with us. You certainly don't have to have a relationship, but you choose it. And we know we fail a lot in that relationship. So thanks for coming back and wanting us again. God, bless this church as we fast. Bless each individual that fasts, and God, reveal yourselves more to them. Let them experience you in a more real and a deeper way. God, I pray for this community that they see what happens at this church and that they want to be a part of it, God. I pray for this area, God, that as this church fasts, God, that they will be ready to experience an awakening. God, bless these 21 days. Be with us. And thank you for everything that you've given us, including this gift of fasting. It's your son's name we pray. Amen.